friends and our therapists. This is Yu Jung, and here on the Thirsty for Art podcast, we talk all about growing as art therapists and professionals, as well as growing our online businesses. Welcome to the podcast, and let's dive in. Hey, 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 my friends, my art therapists and facilitators. So sometimes I get this question. I'm going to do non-clinical work, but what do I call myself? What do I call my services? Because I cannot call myself an art therapist or call my work art therapy either. So what do I do? And so I have a little side note. For those of you who don't know, you can't really call your work art therapy if you are not licensed or certified in the state that does have art therapy regulations and title protection. And this is just pertaining to the US. So just keep that in mind. But so here it is. If you want to do non-clinical work, but you don't have your certification or licensure, and you're in a state where you have to have those things in order to do art therapy or call yourself an art therapist, then you call yourself whatever feels right for you. Okay, that's the answer. Maybe it's anticlimactic. And I'm just going to give you a list of possible things, but it's just an idea of what you could do, but it's really not like you have to do this or anything like that. The important thing to keep in mind is that it's really not the title that matters. It's really not the name you call your services that's important to your business. No, that's not important. That's not the foundation of your business. That's not the pillars of your business. That's not the be-all, end-all of your identity, even as a person who helps other people through creative means, right? So it's important because that's something that I've learned in my own non-clinical path, right? I never, thought I would go into this path, but like as I transition, because I have a clinical background, as I transition into the non-clinical work, I realized that it's not the title that matters. It's not the name you call your services that matters. That doesn't matter at all in terms of my business and how I can help people in the success of this work, right? And really being aligned with my own goals and values as a helper. But anyway, with that said, I want to share with you the things that you can call yourself if you are a non-clinical practitioner, okay? All right, so here is the list, but just keep in mind, these are just examples, like starting points. These are things that I have heard around me online. I've heard other people use these. Just examples. So what do you call yourself? These are some examples. Instead of art therapist, right? You could call yourself a art as therapy facilitator. You can do creative facilitator. Another one is creativity coach. Maybe that might be a very specific type. You could do like art-based coach, creative life coach. Other applications might be like creative something-something coach, right? Something coach, meaning like a specific niche or problem, right? You could also consider a creative healer, therapeutic art life coach, expressive art coach or facilitator, expressive arts processing coach, creative insight coach, or even creative wellness coach. Or I have some suggestions for like more specific ways to give yourself a name or title, because I think all the things that I shared with you so far are very generic. So I think that is really better business-wise, marketing-wise, and also for the clients too, to understand what you do, to be very specific in what you call yourself. So some of the specific examples, which might not be applicable to everyone, it will be mindful art coach, right? Creative grief coach, or something creative something coach, right? As I said before, expressive arts based mentor, creative mentor, some kind of expert, some kind of specialist, something something guide, maybe a creative guide, so or something like that. Of course, you know, replace it with your specific niche word, topic word, problem word. Consultant is another word. Perhaps that might be specific to a certain type of non-clinical work, but might be a consideration, right? An option. Practitioner, wellness pro, maybe even guru. All right, you name it. All these things. There's probably more, but I cannot think of it. So many. But you know what? You know what would be better is that actually having, in addition to the title or the name to call yourself, to have an elevator pitch or at least like a one sentence bio that clearly communicates who you help and what you help them with and how you do that, right? I have a previous episode on that. I think it's episode 34, how to tell people what you do. Parentheses tips for a therapist. So listen to that episode to learn how to create that elevator pitch. That one sentence bio is going to be really, really helpful. You can use that anywhere in your online presence or even in person. So that will be helpful. So, you know, the reason why I say that it's important to have that or it's helpful to have that elevator pitch is that because that's more reflective of what you're doing, right? A one or two letter word is not going to explain everything or like pretty much like the overall thing that you do. It's more better to have like one sentence explaining what exactly you do, who you help, right? That's important. Who you help and how you help them, right? Yeah, I feel like we don't need to put that much emphasis on the title as long as you have an elevator pitch, at least, or like this one sentence bio that you can really explain yourself. Yeah, so those are the titles or names that you can consider if you are working in that non-clinical realm. I have a blog post on this, so if you need to reference back to the list, you just check out my blog. It's going to be linked in the show notes. All right, so you might be also wondering what to call the thing that you do, right? Like, I cannot call the thing that I do art therapy per se, right? If I do non-clinical work, so what do I call the thing that I do? What do I call my services, basically? So here are some options, right? Just be creative, right? So some of the options are calling the service art as therapy, right? Or therapeutic art making, creative sessions, or creative coaching, creative life coaching, perhaps creative mentoring, creative facilitation, or I know expressive arts facilitation is a thing. So expressive arts session or expressive arts facilitation, healing art, or just simply expressive art could be a thing. And just explain what is involved in it, right? What is the goal of it and things like that, right? So hint, hint, it's not really important what you call your services, basically. It's what's more important is like, what do you explain afterwards, right? What do you explain? You know, how you explain it. So yeah, so expressive art, you know, you can go in depth or specific about this. So expressive painting, expressive drawing, expressive collage, whatever medium that you might be more focusing on that could, you know, serve as a title for your service, I guess. Another thing would be like mindful art making, something like that. It's really all about being creative. I love that you could get creative, actually. Even if, you know, actually thinking about it, even if I had the option of calling my services art therapy or a therapy session, I would still not do that. Does that make sense? I would still not do that. And I would actually have a unique name for my service. You know, I would rather have a unique name for my service, even if I had the option of calling my services art therapy. Because, you know, at the end of the day, not a lot of people know what art therapy is anyway. So I would rather use a creative word to explain a little bit more specifically and in depth about the nature of the service, right? And who it is for. And so I honestly think that the best thing that you can do in terms of naming what you do slash your services is to actually create a name for your signature program. Like, For example, I created the name self-discovery through art program or session, self-discovery art session, something like that in my previous service offerings. And so it's more descriptive and reflective of what's actually going to happen inside the service, inside the session. So that's why I like that, having a name, and also many different reasons for having a name. You can definitely listen to my previous episode 33 if you haven't, about packaging. And I think I mentioned about like naming the package too, right? Giving a title. But this is basically like one of the kind of big things that I teach inside the Visionary membership as well. To have a package and to have a name for it, a unique name, because there are marketing reasons behind that. You know, a name, a phrase to title your session or program actually really helps to brand yourself, to give your business a brand, right? And to actually stand out amongst the crowd. So for marketing purposes, it's really good and even really helps your clients understand what your service is really about, right? Because the word art therapy is very general, so it doesn't give a lot of like indications about what's going to happen in the session. So anyway, just don't make it too complicated when you try to come up with a word to call your services or your program. Don't make it complicated. In my own experience and journey of creating a non-clinical business, I felt very unsure of what to call myself, because I felt a lot of like imposter syndrome, and I wasn't sure whether I could actually do this thing, you know, without a license or something else or a certification, whatever. However, I let go of that. I let go of the doubts. I let go of the uncertainties, the feeling of unworthiness, right? As a art therapist or non-clinical art therapist, the shame even, right? Can I even do that, right? And I let go of all that and started to own being me, being just me, and just own the unique power of using art in this beautiful way to help people. And I decided to name my service. And the decision to name the service and what to call myself was like a very simple, quick decision, because it didn't matter. It didn't matter. So I knew that, you know, when I owned myself, when I owned the power of this therapeutic use of art, I was like, it just doesn't matter. So the name was easy. The name, coming up with the name was easy. And as I said, what really matters is what you say after saying, I am this. I help this type of people in this way. Like, it's the explanation, it's the elevator pitch, it's the bio, right? That's more important, I would say. It's really just how I explain my work. It's really about how I feel about myself and my work. It's the degree of belief in what I do and who I am that matters. So I want to encourage you to, if you're worried about what you to call yourself, if you're worried about what your service name is going to be, first turn inward and see how you feel inside. See how you feel about yourself and your work, and see how much you believe in that, right? How much you believe in what you do and who you are. It all comes down to that. So yeah, just turn inwards, do that inner work. But in the action world, when you take action in your business, just if you're stuck in any way, just randomly just pick a thing from the list I shared in here, just see how that feels, okay? Just apply, imagine, okay, calling myself or calling this service that. See if there's any discomfort or unease with any of that. And notice if it's coming from a place of fear, shame, or insecurity about who you are as a non-clinical, you know, service provider, right? Check with yourself. If it is, know that no one can officially determine what you do. Nope. No one can do that. No. This is non-clinical work. No one can legitimize you. No one can ordain you. No one can officially confer you some kind of position or even judge you. Right? No one's going to make you legit. You have to see that, no, you can stop looking for other people's acceptance, right? You can stop looking for other people's acceptance and reverence, maybe even. Don't look for other people's thoughts and opinions. Don't look for permission. Do not look for permission. Give yourself that permission. You be the decider of your own life. You be the decider of your own business, of your own service, right? Because we're talking about non-clinical work here. You decide to take that spot of deciding your own services and your business. You decide what you do, who you are. No one else is going to do that for you. And you can stop waiting for that. You can stop waiting for that acceptance and ordaining. All right. That legitimization of who you are. Nope. Just you do you. The world is your oyster. You do whatever the heck you want to do. Of course, within reason. So it's just a different way of being, different way of work when you are on the non-clinical path, right? Do you see how much freedom there is? I love it. But yeah, it's very different from clinical work. So I hope that this was helpful. Yeah, as I said, check out the blog post if you need like a little reference list of words to give you a little inspiration and guidance. It's up to you what you do as long as it's within legal reasons, right? But yeah, hope that this inspired you and gave you some permission. Thanks for listening. I will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.